Bruce Pratt in the house for this week's Sports Lit 101 and more conversation about a book we talked about a little last week.
Yeah, the greatest upset never seen, Virginia Chaminade and the game that changed college basketball.
Which you reminded me earlier, it was 37 years ago.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I know. 1982 in December, two teams on trajectories in two different leagues. Now, what people don't know is that the NCAA can select any college it wants that's an accredited NCAA or NAIA member for the big dance, if they choose to, for March Madness. They could choose a Division III school. Nothing precludes them from doing that. And one of the things that Chaminade did to build its program was say anybody one coming through Hawaii wanted to play us, play us. Now, Hawaii, for many people in wintertime, is a interesting option. And in 1982, Ralph Sampson and the Virginia Cavaliers, who were ranked number one preseason, started their season and then went over the break, over the Thanksgiving and Christmas break time, to Japan, where without Ralph, who was sick, they beat Houston, which had Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon. They came back and they played Chaminade. And the game was not on television and was only broadcast on the radio. And the reason no one in the U.S. mainland saw it or knew anything about it was it ended at 2:41 a.m., so even in Virginia, most people did not know. The world learned that Chaminade had upset the Virginia Cavaliers when Tom Meese announced it Christmas Eve morning on ESPN, and people thought it was a joke. People were going, yeah, right. So what the book does, it doesn't just focus on that game, but it does a great job focusing on that game. Like, even though you know the outcome, you're there waiting for the game to end, as the guy's given the, it's Danilo, Jack Danilo, it's the author, is describing it. The best thing, though, is that this is a book about the characters that made this a really compelling story. Now, Terry Holland, who was the coach at Virginia and was a coach for a very long time, though he did retire sort of young as a coach, had Rick Carlisle, who played for 2 years at Maine, and he had a really good team. Chaminade had no business being as good as they were, but after this game, each of them had their eyes focused on winning their national championship. For Chaminade, it was the NAIA national championship, and for Virginia, it was the NCAA national championship. As we know, neither one of them won, but both programs became a part of history in a special way as a result of that. I mean, the loss to Chaminade was never once by anybody from Virginia blamed on anything but being outplayed. Class acts all the way. Let's think of who's in the ACC at the time. Okay, we have Jim Valvano's North Carolina State team, which wins the national championship that year. Oh, and by the way, at North Carolina, there's a guy named Michael Jordan who's pretty good. When you look, I would argue that there probably has been no time when the ACC was more dominant than that period in the 80s. I mean, there was the ACC and everybody else. The way the SEC sort of been that way for football in the recent past. People think only of that. But what the book does is it follows both schools, their coaches, the interesting personal stories up to the game, and then follows them for the rest of the season because both of them are on this arc to try and win their championship. But it doesn't end there, which is what makes it such a great book. It sort of goes into the next season when they both are starting all over again. And what is it like when you've been pursuing this dream and it doesn't happen and you have to start all over again? And you're talking about a university that was founded by Thomas Jefferson playing a tiny little Catholic school, which has changed its name four times since 1955 when it was founded in Honolulu. The Chaminade game was not played at Chaminade's gym because they didn't have one. It was played at a high school. They could fit 3,200 people in, and Chaminade became so popular, more popular in many ways than the university-wise basketball program, that people were waiting in line for hours. People were flying the 55 miles from one island to another to see them play because they were this sort of plucky, you know, Hawaiian kids can play basketball too. And in the beginning, almost all of their players, though not all, almost all of them were from Hawaii, and particularly from the Honolulu area. But they also did, the coach, Merv Lopes, also did something quite interesting. He'd recruit a kid, and if the kid didn't come, he'd say, well, if it ever changes, come anyway. And he had kids that would, after 3 years somewhere else, totally disappointed, didn't get to play enough, they could transfer to an NAIA school without having to sit out, and they would come and they would play. And they all talked about, all the players talked about how he made a difference in their lives, whether they played for him for 4 years or they played for him for 1 year. Because when they were either down and out or when they'd not done well somewhere else, he just said, okay, well, suck it up and let's play. He was a high school guidance counselor because it wasn't a full-time paying job. So this guy would get up early in the morning, go to a particular place to have breakfast, talk to people about Chaminade basketball, go do his high school day job, for which he received many commendations, apparently very good, and then they would practice in the evening after the high school was done with the gym. So, you know, they're going to practice 6-7 o'clock at night. He's going home doing whatever he has to do to get ready for school the next day and get ready for practice. As compared to Terry Holland, who's got, you know, a full-time job and a full-time staff, a much larger recruiting budget, is located in an area of the United States, as we know, the East Coast and Chicago and California are places that turn out lots of basketball players. Indiana, you know, every part of the country turns out basketball players. But when you think of that line sort of from Cambridge and Latin through DeMatha through you know, all the big high schools into the Baltimore, Washington area, you're talking about a lot of talent. He can recruit from that. This guy is trying to recruit kids on the Hawaiian Islands. Interested in kids from elsewhere, but he doesn't have the money to go fly places. One of the really neat things is how the book is written in a way that you just keep turning pages. I mean, I would get to the end of a chapter and I'd be tired and I think I should go to bed. No, I think I'll read one more. And it covers the people who covered the games, which is another interesting thing, how the play-by-play people, the radio play-by-play people in this case, because there was no TV, both of them were guys who were basketball fans and wanted to be broadcasters and sort of had to learn the old way, not the way you do it today by going to the Newhouse School in Syracuse and then walking into a job at ESPN somewhere. The thing I think all people will like, even if you're not a huge basketball fan, is this is a great look inside an event that really happened. You know, this is not this. It reads almost like fiction. You almost can't believe it, but you know that it really happened. And Chaminade has gone on to beat Louisville twice, to beat SMU when they were ranked number 3, and the Maui Classic, which is, you know, the big preseason tournament in college basketball, was a result of Terry Holland from Virginia saying, you know, you really ought to have this is a great tournament. There ought to really be a big tournament out here. Fortunately, Chaminade's tournament is no longer there, though they get invited to the Maui Classic from time to time. It's just a great story. It's the kind of thing that makes you feel good. You love it. A lot of people with a lot of class, and a lot of people who saw Rick Carlisle will be interested in a lot of things that happened to him in the book.
Nice. The Greatest Upset Never Seen. I love the title.
Yeah, The Greatest Upset Never Seen. Really, really good book. I enjoyed it immensely.
Excellent. Thank you, Bruce.